Hi everybody, this is Joe Garton. Most of you will know her. Joe's been around here, what seems like for me, forever, having only just been here. Our morning's spaces, they've been significantly shaped by Joe, the words and the images that have been given to us to use at that time, and the suggestions around music for that first 20 minutes that we've been having as a fellowship. Joe's been a significant shaper of that, and I want to say thank you for that gift that you have shared with us. Being able to create spaces where we make room for us to connect with God. You've got your husband Jeff here this morning, is that right?
Yes.
There's Jeff, a little bit of a wave there, so that's really cool. There's been a join us this morning. Why are you here? Why are you standing? What's happening this morning?
Well, you coerced me into being here. You twisted my arm. So finally, you got me here.
I have to say that I have had an amazing month. I don't know if you've noticed, but I haven't been preaching. There's been other people that have been doing that. It's been a massive gift to me because it's been able to give me space to do some processing in some other areas. And I've been fed week in, week out for those that have been doing that. And so thank you. And I trust we've been fed as well, haven't we? As we've had different people. And so, Joe, you're going to be speaking to us this morning. Again, we're in Matthew chapter 7.
6.
There you go. See, I'm glad somebody's awake. So we're doing Matthew chapter 6, and we're looking at prayer and what it is to give. And so this morning you're specifically focusing on prayer. And leading us into the Lord's Prayer. So I'm going to pray for you.
Thank you.
Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for this incredible lady who is made by an incredible God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your incredible word, and that Joe is able to open that for us this morning. Unpack it for us a little bit so that your words may be known for us this morning. Be with her this morning. Lord Jesus, give her your mouth to speak and give us your ears to hear. Amen.
Amen.
Bless you.
Thank you, Lyndon.
All plugged in, ready to go? All going?
Good. Sounds like you can hear me. Good morning, everyone. Really scary being up here, but it's nice to look out on friendly faces of people I know and who love me. So, hey, we're all there. So the passage today I'm going to speak on is the four verses just before the Lord's Prayer. It's just after when Jesus said, "When you give to the needy," and just before what we call the Lord's Prayer. So, some of Jesus' words about prayer. Prayer, what a huge topic. If we were to count all the books that all of us have read in this room about prayer, I'm sure that would just be huge, hundreds. And you've read about prayer and I've read about prayer. But what is prayer? Let's see if this works. Do I have to switch it on? Thank you, Lyndon. Oh, that's right. I had to push that button there, didn't I? Yes, it's working. Yay. What is prayer to you? What is prayer to me? If you were to define prayer in a few words today, just a few words, what would you say? I used to think prayer was mostly asking God for things, just coming to God with my list of requests for myself and for others. And as I grew in my Christian life, I learned that prayer is other things. It's praise, which Pauline talked about a bit last week. Worship and praise, thanksgiving, confession. You know the list. But I think prayer is actually more than the sum of its parts. And so let's look at these four verses where Jesus says what prayer is and what prayer isn't. Verse 5. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. Note at the beginning there, it's not if you pray, but when you pray. Jesus assumes his followers will be praying. So the Jews had set times for prayer in the morning and the afternoon and the evening, and it was common practice for them to stop and pray, which actually is a good idea. I need reminders during the day to stop and pray. I know some people use their watches or their phones just to remind them that they are in God's presence and that they can talk to God. Routines and reminders are good, but unfortunately, sometimes things can start well with good intentions, but end up being institutionalized. Patterns of prayer which start as good disciplines can sometimes fall into habits without meaning or formulas without heart. And prayer can even become something that we do to look good or sound good, which is this one. So I think Jesus in this verse is not condemning public prayer. I think he's putting on his finger on our motive for prayer. Prayer is not about when I pray, but why I pray. Why do I pray? Why do you pray? It's a good question, and I keep coming back to this. What's going to take me back to prayer? Why will I have a quiet time tomorrow? What keeps me coming back? Okay, let's move on to the next verse. Verse 6. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. After saying what not to do in the verse before, Jesus seems to be saying what we can do. But I don't think he's giving us a formula for a successful prayer life. He's not saying that every time you pray, you must go into a room and close the door. This would be impossible, of course, for most of us. And I really want to say this, especially mothers with young children. You just can't do that. It's certainly helpful to have a place to pray where you can be silent and in solitude, and I really like that. But I think prayer is... Oops. Did we go too far then? Sorry. Prayer is not about where I am physically, but where is my heart? So I think going into the room can be a couple of things. Going into the room can be accessing my innermost place of thoughts and feelings. It's unseen physically by others, but fully seen by God. It's a place where I can be known. I love that Avatar movie where they say, I see you. And I think this is our place of prayer, where God says, I see you, and I fully accept you as you are. So when I really tell God what is on my heart, then I experience God saying, I see you and I love you. And I think actually the room can be God himself. God is my secret and safe place where I enter because of Jesus. And I'm sure most of you know the verse in Hebrews 4, we come to the throne of grace with confidence to receive mercy and grace in our time of need. And I am needy. With God, I can be honest about my deepest fears, my most desperate longings. I can sigh and groan and weep and confess and bring my shame again and again. I can pour out to God who I am, and he can see me and he can love me and call me into deeper relationship. it says about a reward. I don't know what the reward is. I don't think it's answered prayer. It might just be more of God. The reward might just be deeper relationship with the one who loves me. Last two verses. When you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they would be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. I think Jesus, again, is speaking against using a formula for prayer. I think he's saying sincere prayer doesn't have to be long. Prayer is not about how many words we use or even the right words. Prayer is not about how long I pray for, but who I am praying to. Now that may seem obvious, but who do I really believe about God when I pray? Do I have to try and convince God of my prayer request? Do I have to try and get his attention? Do I have to clean myself up before I even start praying? Do I have to get it right? What we believe about who God is will influence how we pray. I'll just say that again. What we believe about who God is will influence how we pray. What is your image of God today when you pray? Is it different than it was 5 years ago, 10 years ago? I know mine is. My image of God has changed a lot over the years. And I just love the names and images we have for God and how they often take on a deeper meaning in the experiences of our life. Here's just a few names. King of Kings, Lord of Lords, El Shaddai, Father, Mother, Shepherd, Warrior, the Beloved One, Breath of Heaven. When you pray, who are you calling God today? Is your image of God broadening and deepening? I also think in these verses, Jesus is saying that prayer is not a monologue. And I loved the beginning of Pauline's message last week where we heard this little conversation going on that really modeled, and I kind of laughed along with you all. But prayer is a dialogue. It's talking and listening. I forget that sometimes. Oops. Oh, that's right, the last verse. Do not be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This last little part here gets me every time. If God knows what I need before I ask him, why pray? If God knows my heart, my desires, my needs, my longings, why would I want to tell him what he already knows? Gets me every time. And I think I have to ask myself this time, all the time, prayer is relationship with God. Just like the best parent with their child, the good parent just loves to hear their child, even if they're babbling on, just telling him stuff. Prayer is not a task to be done or a duty to tick off. It's not an obligation to fulfill. Prayer is actually not like baking a cake. It's not like taking a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Follow the recipe and you'll be fine. Prayer is relationship. And like all relationships, they can get pretty messy. The mess, of course, is on my part, not on God's. But I'd just like to say this morning, if your prayer life is messy, that's okay. Maybe good things are going on. Just keep going. Prayer is also a journey of faith and love. It's not a destination to get right. Prayer is a continuing encounter with the Beloved. I really like that definition. Prayer is a continuing encounter with the Beloved, a movement towards God, a continuing conversation. And one of my favorite authors, David Benner, says, prayer is not simply words that we offer when we speak to God, but an opening of ourself to God. I quite like that. Now, I'm going to finish with this old painting, and this was meant to be in the meditation before the service this morning, but it somehow got left out. This is an old painting painted in the 1850s. I hope you can see it up there. Do we need to dim the lights a bit? It's called The Angelus. The Angelus is a call to prayer. And here we can see two peasants, and they've been digging potatoes. And now they've stopped to pray. In the back, you might be able to see the church steeple. Probably the bells have rung out, calling to these peasants that this is the time to stop and pray. The man has taken his hat off, and he's bowed his head. Is he talking to God? We don't know. He might be just wondering what's for dinner. The woman also has a posture of prayer. Her head's bowed, her hands are clasped. Is she pouring her heart out to God? I don't know. Is she just ticking off her prayer list? Maybe. I like to think actually that they're both just being still before God, just waiting, just listening, just being there in the presence of God. So our life experience might be different from these two people up here, but we too can respond to the call to pray. We can pray when we dig potatoes. We can pray when we stop digging potatoes. But we can all bring our hearts to God, the God who fully sees us and knows us and loves us just as we are. So now we're going to move on into the Lord's Prayer. And I think Lyndon is going to take us through that and give us some opportunities to pray.
Yes, so we're going to continue with this. Joe, thank you so much. So I think it's exciting now that we've had a little bit of unpacking of what prayer looks like and why we pray, and we're going to pray. So if we could go to our next series of slides. This is the Lord's Prayer, and we're going to give you a couple of minutes. There, Joe. Thank you again so much. We're going to give you a couple of minutes with each one of these slides. We've got, I think it's four slides. So here's the first slide. I'm just going to sit down. I'm going to read out the first part and spend this time in prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I don't know about you, but this month of prayer and just doing church a little bit differently and giving room and space for prayer, I think it's life-giving. And so again, I want to thank you for all those that have been involved in that process. Next week is our last week where we're really giving that significant amount of time to do that. So again, I encourage you, come early and let's really soak in this season of prayer and reflection. I'm going to read a dedication over you for going out into this week, and I'll invite you to stand, and we'll also sing a song. Words of Jesus over you. I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go. Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this,